1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden took a partial victory for a strengthening economy in last night's State of the Union address, his first before a divided Congress.
Thanks to what you've all done, we're exporting American products and creating American jobs. But we have more to do. But here at home, inflation is coming down.
Correspondent Nancy Cordes from Washington.
President Biden's second State of the Union address started with a show of bipartisanship as he congratulated the new House Speaker, Republican Kevin McCarthy.
Speaker, I don't want to ruin your reputation, but I look forward to working with you.
But the night quickly took a turn. And McCarthy had to shush members of his own party at least four times as they booed and interrupted the president when he talked about China, about fentanyl, and when he noted that some Republicans have proposed cutting Medicare and Social Security.
British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak greeted Ukraine's president on the tarmac when he arrived for a surprise visit to London. The two men met at 10 Downing Street. Then Volodymyr Zelensky addressed the British Parliament in a bid for more military support.
We will always come out on top of evil. This lies at the core of our, but also your, traditions.
Zelensky is also meeting with King Charles. It's a race against time to find additional survivors trapped in massive mounds of rubble in the frigid cold after Monday's 7.8 earthquake that devastated parts of Turkey and Syria. Today, the death toll topped 11,000. In Pyongyang, marked the 75th anniversary of the country's army. Small government-organized groups performed. Others held signs praising the Korean People's Army. The King gets a new title after last night's Lakers game. CBS's Steve Futterman was there.
What a moment for LeBron James. He is now the NBA's all-time leading scorer. And the crowd here chanting MVP. He entered the league 20 years ago, and tonight he attains one of the greatest records in basketball.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who held the title for almost 40 years, was there to congratulate his successor.
LeBron has conducted himself with class. He had a plan. He came right out of high school and went after excellence on the court.
CVS is taking a giant plunge into primary medical care. It's reached a $10.6 billion all-cash deal to buy clinic owner Oak Street Health. It adds hundreds of senior clinics, as well as about 600 physicians and nurse practitioners for COVID vaccinations, strep tests, and other services at CVS pharmacies. S&P futures down 20, Dow futures off 119. This is CBS News.
You know, it's true.
Even when a crop is insured through standard insurance options, it may not always be enough. A supplemental coverage option or enhanced coverage option can provide extra protection. SEO and ECO are area-based policies that could insure yields as high as 95%. To find out if an SEO or ECO policy is right for you, contact the insurance team at Egg Country Farm Credit Services. Egg Country. Focused on ag, focused on you.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 28. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. A mixture of precipitation likely. High temperatures reach up to 34. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Chance for mixed precipitation. Lows level off around 17. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Hauling for Wolves. Hauling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Okay, Dr. Staley. Hey, welcome. Yeah, exactly. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio, and we're with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic. Boy, I'm just getting and thank you for stepping in early and also helping me with that interview. So what I would like to do, Dr. Stately, is just to ask you what you'd like to talk about in this last segment.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that last issue is a really important one. We don't often think very often about how critical environmental degradation is within the context of health, right? How much impact it has on our physical health, our emotional, mental well-being, spiritual well-being, those kinds of things. It is, you know, it's a very big issue for sure. Everybody, you know, there isn't, I think this is always a challenge, is, you know, there isn't anybody that really wants to have a railroad running through their backyard, right? Our country, our people, our society as Americans, we all suffer from, serious disorder called not in my backyard kind of syndrome, where, you know, we don't want anything really that's going to impact the community or the planet in any way, shape, or form running through our particular backyard. And I think one of the things that I always think about within that context is that's probably true of everybody, right? But I think one of the things that we can all pretty much be certain of is that the majority of people that suffer the deleterious outcomes in those kinds of conversations are always with disenfranchised communities and disempowered communities, the ones that don't have a tremendous amount of wealth, right? The ones that don't have a lot of political clout, the ones that aren't, you know, the executive officers of, or stockholders of large billion-dollar corporations that that can swing, their might and to their benefit, and usually to the not so great benefit of disenfranchised communities like tribal communities. That's been a fight that's been going on for decades. One of the things I would hope that people would be willing to listen to is that, that merger isn't particularly beneficial or helpful to anyone really living in Minnesota. The Mississippi runs through the entire state, right? Yeah. And supports so much of its entire state infrastructure, all of the, all the tributaries that are linked to the Mississippi River would be threatened, and other sources of groundwater. So I think those are like important things for everyone to think about, not just the indigenous people of the state, but also the entire populace. But these fights have been going on forever, right?
Yeah, water is life. And I'll tell you, I walk by the Mississippi every day, Dr. Stately, and the river is low. And we've been in the second year of our drought. So it's so precarious when it comes to water. And, you read reports that California wants to divert water from the Mississippi, and how much is that going to cost with pipelines and all, it's just crazy stuff.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. Like, they already dried up the Colorado River. Now they want to dry up the Mississippi.
Which
you
is...
know, don't get me wrong. I lived in California for like 20 years. I really love, there's a lot I love about California, but you know, they have a big, huge ocean right next to them. They can like start, you know, desalinating water from there. I mean, that's what they should be investing in.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
or maybe not have huge lawns and lots of it. And not everybody needs to have a pool in their backyard, you know. I grew up for like 40 years of my life without a pool. I was, I did just fine.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I agree. It's crazy. And I think just amplifying in these discussions, with people, you know, about what's happening in Indian country, because what's going to happen in Indian country is going to happen to you. And I think that's what you alluded to when it comes to everybody needs to keep their eyes on the prize. I mean, just what, 2 years ago, they put water on the stock market. I mean, that's kind of flag right there.
Yeah. You know what I always tell people? Like, I have, I've been in some of these conversations. In fact, I just had this conversation yesterday. I'm sure you remember, like a couple of months ago, or maybe it was about a little over a month ago, we had some people on who were talking about the Friends of Lake Hiawatha thing issue,
right?
And why it's important to sort of like preserve Lake Hiawatha and even rewild it, because you know, such a precious asset to not just the tribal people or the native people that live in South Minneapolis, but the entire community. And whenever I have the chance, I tell people, like, you know, if native people are speaking up and we're saying, like, this environmental issue needs to be addressed because it's going to harm native people in this way and these things, we're usually sounding the alarms and the voice of reason on critical things that are going to impact not just us, but people all over the world, right? So Native people are who are usually the ones stepping into these spaces and places, talking about it. And whenever people ask me, like, well, why should we be concerned about that? I say, well, you know what? If Indigenous people are bringing an issue to the attention of, you know, not just our community, but our state, our region, our nation, it's usually something that's going to impact the entire planet at some point in time, or the rest of the, at least the rest of the United States. You probably should pay attention. What benefits us is going to benefit most people.
Well, Bob Blake always talks about we're the last, you know, the front lines of saving our environment. And that includes water and everything. We are here for that reason, and that's part of us being Native and being here for 10,000 years.
Right. And I think one of the things that I'm always trying to impress upon people is that, you know, our health and our well-being, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, of course, as well, our health is tied to the health of the planet, right? if we don't take good care of the earth, there will be nothing to take care of us really when we need it the most, right? When we start to pollute our water, pollute our air, pollute the land, you know, we're going to see, you know, all kinds of critical things happen that are going to threaten our own physical and emotional and mental well-being. We see that every day. when we start to sort of like pollute the things around us and not take care of the earth and the air, that has real world implications for us as human beings, right? And we got to think about those things.
Yeah, I really do. And, you know, and that all goes, I think what I talked about a little bit earlier, and I think when you jumped in, Dr. Stately, we were talking about is both like, your future depends on it, and you know, you have young ones, and you know, and we need to preserve for the next seven generations. And when we talk about the next seven generations, we are really talking about the next seven generations, and that's
And remembering that we are the embodiment of the seventh generation, right? We're here because seven generations ago, someone was making decisions so that we would have a space and place to inhabit on this earth. And we have the responsibility to do the same thing.
exactly. Pini Gigi, thank you so much. And hey, thanks for co-hosting Native Roots Radio. You didn't know you were going to do that, but I appreciate you. Appreciate everything you do for the community. And, you know, let's do this again tomorrow. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier now.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by, what is it brought to you by, Ogama?
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Yeah, that's a new sponsor. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we are here with Michael Spears, actor, and he's been in many things here, and we're going to talk a little bit about his career and also this new movie, The Year of the Dog. Michael, thank you so much for coming on to Native Roots Radio.
Pilama, thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking with you about all of the wonderful things in movies.
Right on. And, you know, we've had quite a few people, and I don't know if you know Bobby Wilson, but Bobby Wilson was a student of mine in Reservation Dogs, and we had quite a few Reservation Dog actors on the show in the last 2 years, and we're really excited to throw you in that mix as a Reservation Dog alumni. Really, I just want to touch base on that for a second. That show for me has, and I know all over Indian country because I see it on Facebook, people are really plugging in. And I love it because it's for mainstream, but it also has a lot of good things for us natives to like shake our head and go, oh, yeah, yes. And so how was that experience? You played pretty heavy duty part in this.
Yeah, that experience is unique for me in that, you know, you walk on set and it's all native created, you know, all the showrunners and actors and crew and cast, everyone's native, and you know, walking onto a set like that is an experience in itself. You know, I've never had the opportunity to be on a set such as Reservation Dogs yet, and looking forward to next season. I hear we just got picked up again for another season. I want to shout out to Sterling and Bobby and thank all the boys on set. Hopefully everything's going good with everyone. And man, the show's really picked up a lot of momentum and created a lot of visibility for Indian people all across America and the world now.
Yeah, a friend of mine who works for CBS television on 48, he's a producer for 48 Hours, called me late last night, and he's diving deep into the show and just couldn't believe it. And, he was excited, and he was only on season one, but, you know, there's great more to come on that. Just really excited that, I don't know if it seems like since Standing Rock, a lot of good things have happened for us natives. And, you know, I know we started our show during Standing Rock and with the protesting of the pipeline and a lot of good things from authors to movies, you know, Prey and to Reservation Dogs and your upcoming movie, The Year of the Dog.
Oh, I'm very appreciative of the visibility, you know, that we've gained through the political activism stage. You know, we have a lot more stories. You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I want to give shout outs to all the up and coming artists and filmmakers and musicians and all the other Indigenous people that are, you know, on the come up, because we have so many more stories to tell. So each one of us has a story. Everyone has You know, everyone's got dreams and hopes. And me as a little boy from growing up on the Lower Brule Reservation to where I am now, you know, I'm back on the reservation now. I'm a student at Sinte Gleshka University, and that's where I'm coming at you live from right now is Mission, South Dakota.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and, you know, just balancing that and hoping for the best for all the people here. We, as a Native acting community, you know, we're pretty small, actually. You know, everybody knows everybody almost. We all try out for the same parts. I've been fortunate enough to be in the game for, I won't date myself, but quite some time, as when from Otter and Dances with Wolves to, most recently, Sitting Bull, and runs his horse in Yellowstone.
Is that what you're shooting now?
Yeah, I just came off a two-part docudrama for the History Channel. I was fortunate enough to land the lead in the docudrama, two-part series being produced by the History Channel, highlighting Sitting Bull's life.
Wow, that's awesome. Let's talk a little bit. I have a little blurb here. You know, the year the dog is about two strays, mad and alcoholic, struggling to maintain sobriety, and a rescue dog with unusual athletic gifts. Spears plays Fred, Matt's big book thumping sponsor. Hey, that stop right there. People on the radio know that I've been sober for a few years, and I love that term, big book thumper. How did you prepare for the role?
Well, you know, that role, I drew from a lot of personal experience. You know, the preparation, I guess, was you know, being able to be in a space where I felt safe enough to let Fred out and be vulnerable as well, because, you know, he's not a perfect person either. So just personal experience you know, my family members and you know, I know a lot of us as natives have been touched by alcohol and the ism of it, you know, not only the addiction, but, you know, the things that come along with mental health awareness and illness and all of that.
Well, you know, I always say it's really, you know, whenever I see our lieutenant governor here in Minnesota, I always let her know, it's like, I really appreciate you. I used to be a high school teacher and had an all-native homeroom. And what I would always tell her is I appreciate you being lieutenant governor, because my kids are able to see someone that looks like them in this role. And I feel the same way about this, that there's many ways to recover, and there's many ways to go down the red road, and to be able to have our people see somebody, you know, representing that portion of our culture, or not so much culture, but a portion of our people. You know, some people do it the red road, some go to AA, but there is recovery out there. And so it's important for, I believe, for us. And I want to say a big peeny geegee to you, Michael, for playing that role.
Piyama. You know, I always, you know, tip my hat to those that are brave enough to willing to tell their stories and be honest about it, like Rob, and you're the dog here. He puts himself out there and so it gives a pretty emotional, raw performance. And my character, you know, at the time was going through a lot personally. You know, I just lost both of my grandmothers and my mother shortly after this production, and some of that's gonna come across on screen if you guys get a chance to watch the movie. But definitely want to give shout outs to Rob and the rest of the team on a success. You know, we're just some Montana boys and girls that got together and made a movie.
Well, your role has been convincing enough that the film's producer have recently made a nomination submission on your behalf. So that's huge. That's huge. That doesn't just happen. And I appreciate your humility. And I just kind of just keep saying that how important that is for our people to see people out there in a good way. And you're doing that, Michael. You know, with the, you know, there, it, you being a young person starting out in movies and now older, there's two rules always is you don't want to work with young people in film and you don't want to work with animals. So how was it working with the dog?
It was awesome. You know, I got to work with a few animals in some productions, but this was probably the most hands-on I've got to be with a canine. There was two puppies on this show, a stunt puppy and the actor. So it was a challenge. You know, Rob got a lot more hands-on than I did, but we had some good fun times in pulling and creating that space where we could just have fun and catch something on camera.
Hey, I'm here with Michael Spears, and we're talking about the Year of the Dog and also other movies Michael's in. Michael, do you have time for another quick segment?
I sure do.
That's awesome. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. We'll be right back after this short break. Hey, we're still here. Ogama, how the heck am I doing there? I missed you on that interview.
You know, I ran into technical trouble for this interview, so I wasn't able to join. And, you know, I'm sad I missed it, but I'm glad I'm getting to listen to it all the way through again now. And, you know, it's really amazing, these actors. You know, I think a lot of people think of people who are in Hollywood as maybe like a non-job or kind of like politicians, people who aren't like really real. And I always appreciate seeing these actors in this light.
And you said earlier, or while we were chatting during the interview, because it was pre-recorded, that he went through a lot of loss in that last movie. So, you can't help, like he said, but to bring it in. Hey, we got part two coming up here with the interview here with this great interview, I should say. No, I'm just kidding. This subpar interview from me with Michael Spears, a Lakota actor. We'll be right back after this short break. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in.
Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Tech stations.
Attention, stations on the network. Our broadcast will begin in 1 minute from my mark. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, mark. That was your 1 minute time check, stations.
on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield. This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side. He'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it at the buzzer. To the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Bronson Koenig! Step back three straight on. Got it! Sam Decker. Bo Ryan will win for the 300th time as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. Snaps off another three. Booked it. Oh, my goodness. Don't wake him up. Greg Kaminsky, a single game school record, 43 points. I can't believe I'm going to say it, but here it comes. The Wisconsin Badgers are going to the Final Four.
Badger basketball is on the air. Today's game is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. And by Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. Welcome to the Badger Shoot Around.
Bryce Jordan Center, the Wisconsin Badgers on the road. A couple of Big Ten road tilts this week. Penn State tonight, Nebraska on Saturday afternoon. As they say, another day, another opportunity, and the Badgers trying to get things squared away. They've dropped four of their last five. Penn State also scuffling as well. The Nittany Lions have lost three out of four, but this is a dramatically different team in this building as opposed to anywhere else. Micah Shrewsbury's group 11-1 at the Bryce Jordan Center and averaging 78 points per game here. That's a dozen more than they're averaging anywhere else. They're coming off a loss on Sunday against Nebraska in Lincoln. We said it before, and we're going to say it a few more times here in this conference season. This is huge for both teams, not in terms of winning a Big Ten championship, but trying to improve that resume. Wisconsin 5-7 in league play. Likewise for Penn State, the Badgers 13-9 overall. Penn State is 14-9. Wins are very precious now as we continue on into the month of February. Tip time a little more than 1 hour away. We'll hear, of course, from head coach Greg Gard. We'll have our Badger notebook with Patrick Herb. We'll check in with Badgers junior guard Max Klesmet. And as always, we'll start off with our visit with Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, all a part of the Fetch Rewards pregame show. The Fetch app gives Badger fans a home court advantage. Every time you shop and dine, turn any receipt into points you can redeem for tons of popular gift cards. It's America's favorite way to save, built in Madison. Download Fetch today. We're back in a couple of minutes. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them, with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So don't they hear you? You can do it if you try.
This is the Fetch Rewards pregame show. Wisconsin and Penn State tonight at the Bryce Jordan Center in University Park, Pennsylvania. Don't at me. The campus is in University Park, Pennsylvania. You fly into State College. Did you know that, Jeff Patricus of the Journal Sentinel?
Yes.
Thank you. Bylines are bylines, huh? So how many times have people come up to you in recent days or last couple of weeks and ask you, do the Badgers practice free throw shooting?
Well, they haven't come up to me face-to-face because that's a rare occurrence.
It's all via Twitter.
Thank the Lord, yes. But it's not even the question anymore. It's just the declarative, you know what? If they would practice free throws, they would have a better chance of making them.
Yeah.
Why doesn't guard have them practice free throws? Just amazing how that works.
It's a weird thing with the percentage. I remember, you know, not too many years ago when you had, you know, Nigel Hayes 1 year was a 73-74% free throw shooter. The following year, he was less than 60. And Ethan Happ, as great of a scorer as he was. And I don't know, I can't think of too many players I've seen at Wisconsin who've gotten the most out of their ability and have fought through limitations the way Ethan Happ did in his career. But it was all he could do to make half of his shots. And funny how it works. Those are the guys who shot the most free throws. Right now, Jeff, what's odd is that Tyler Wall's proven to be a good free throw shooter. Steven Crowell, albeit a modest at best sample size last year, he was 80%. So if that doesn't tell you it's from the neck up, I don't know what does.
And Wall had, he had a low number as a freshman, improved as a sophomore, 70% as a junior. He was at 79% until he went 3-7 against Maryland. And that has started the slide. So yes, it's the neck up. And, you know, we talked about it. It reminds you a little bit of Ryan Evans his last year. He was a solid free throw shooter. And then that last year, inexplicably, just could not make free throws. So I thought Wall had a really good attitude the other day because he's been asked about it ad nauseum. And he finally said, you know what? Everybody thinks we're going to go up there and miss them anyway, so there is no pressure anymore. Just go up there and knock them down.
Yeah, just try to just take a breath. Take a deep breath, right? Make your free throws. And, you know, Greg has talked about it. You try to – I mean, nothing that you do in practice is going to be like a game setting. You try to stress them. You know, at the end of practice, it could be those two guys only shooting the free throws to win the practice or whatever it is. But I can't help but think if they knock a couple down early, I mean, Tyler missed a couple early in a game on Sunday, and that could get into you a little bit. If either or for their sake, preferably both, could knock down a couple early, that could change a lot.
You know, and I think it's tougher at home because fans are smart enough to know that those guys are struggling. So there's a hush in the building when they go to the line.
Yep,
and
too quiet.
If it's a two-shot foul and the clang's the first one, you can hear the moaning in the stands.
Yep.
Here, I'm not sure what you're going to hear tonight because I'm not sure how big of a crowd there's going to be.
Well, it's a tough, I mean, in fairness to the folks here, I mean, this is Central Pennsylvania and this game's going to tip off after 8:30 Eastern time on a Wednesday night. Not ideal. That's, if I'm Micah Shrewsbury, I'm probably not really happy with the office for scheduling this or the TV partners. But I have noticed over time here that the students try really hard. You know, the general public, it's a reach of, you know, where all you could come from. But the student section here, they do their best. And look, this team at home, this Penn State team at home, is awfully good.
Yeah, I mean, 11-1, I think the only loss was to Michigan State. Now, they played Purdue. That was a home game, but it was at the Palestra, and they lost to Purdue. But no, they're a, you know, and most teams are better at home. But these guys shoot better at home. They're more confident at home. But I'm really curious to see how Wisconsin comes out tonight because, you know, they felt they let a game get away against Northwestern. They know what their record is. They know they've got to start winning some games. They generally play well in this building.
Yes.
It's been a couple years since they've been here. But, you know, they're not intimidated this building because generally it's not a full crowd. I mean, the black curtains are up tonight, you know, so the upper deck is shut down, so we just have the lower bowl.
I don't know. We'll find out together how these next couple of games play out, but I think just, you know, given the fact that they're struggling, maybe being away for four nights is not the worst thing for them right now.
No, it's not. And as far as this game in particular, I'm really curious to see. You remember the first meeting, they did not double Crowell and Wall down low. And Shrewsbury, after the game, was asked about it. He said, look, we don't want their three-point shooters to get going, so we'll take our chances in the post. Now, does he stick with that? Does he feel that's their best formula to victory? Or does he look at what Northwestern did and say, you know what, we're going to try that too as well? I'm curious to see if he alters his defensive approach.
And it'll be interesting with Wisconsin because Penn State shoots more threes than anybody in the league. 48% of their field goal attempts are three-point attempts, and yet Jalen Pickett, his usage could be as high as anyone. He can bully ball you, so how do you defend that? Do you go straight up with that? And if you don't, can you get out quick enough to get their three-point shooters?
I think they'll follow the plan they used in the first game, which was stand the three-point shooters, which they did for the most part. A little funk got a couple of good looks late. But, you know, they held them to 60 points, and they won the game. So I'm not sure you're going to see many significant changes in their defensive game plan.
I don't know what you were able to see last night with your travel schedule. Indiana looked really good again, defeating Rutgers. A couple of their better players had tough nights. But Trace Jackson-Davis is on a roll right now. I mean, if this is a salary drive, whatever it is for his, I don't even know what his NBA future is, given most of what he does is pretty close to the basket. But as a college player right now, I mean, he's on the short. I mean, Zach Edey is in his own galaxy, I guess. But TJD is playing about as well as anybody else.
I think what it is this is what he came back to take a run at, because he talked about that in the offseason. And I don't think he's going to be a great pro, because unless he can develop an outside game to complement what he can do near the basket. But, yeah, this is what he came back for, to make a run at something, because his first 3 years, they've, I don't want to say underachieved, but they have not had success. They have been disappointing to the people down in Bloomington. And now they're finally playing, I'm sure, what he thought he would, the type of ball he'd be playing.
Yeah, absolutely. I will see you in Lincoln.
I don't know. Maybe I'll be snowed in at Oconomowoc.
Going back home and then off to Lincoln. So, yes. Well, good luck. Good.
All right, thanks.
All right, that's Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Stay with us. Coming up next, our Badgers Spotlight. As the Fetch Rewards pregame show continues, we'll check in with Max Klesman in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
At Exact Sciences, we are cancer fighters based right here in Madison, Wisconsin. We are dedicated to supporting patients before, during, and after a cancer diagnosis through innovative tests that detect it earlier and provide guidance for successful treatment. We are proud to sponsor Wisconsin Badger Athletics and highlight the great work the Exact Sciences team and Badger athletes do in the community.
Hey, Badger fans, the wait is over. The Wisconsin Badgers basketball team is back on the court, and Shields has everything you need to cheer on your favorite players all season long. Take your game day gear to the next level with Shields Fan Shop. We have an unmatched lineup of fan gear, including jerseys, hats, hoodies, and more to help you show off your team colors. So gear up, Badgers fans, and celebrate all season with Shields, a proud partner of Wisconsin Badgers basketball and hoops fans everywhere.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Hey, Badger fans, it's Matt's Matt for Brew Pub, Latte Matcha Pizza. Basketball season is here, and there's nothing that beats sitting and listening to a Badger game while enjoying a delicious Brew Pub pizza. Every game-winning shot and every sweet alley-oop deserves a pizza that's just as amazing. And you'll find that in a Brew Pub Latte Matcha Pizza. Loaded with high-quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese, Brew Pub pizzas are a swish of delish. Snag one today from your local grocery store or during home games in the concession stand at the Kohl Center.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Another season of women's and men's college sports is underway. Follow your alma mater or favorite team in their pursuit of the prestigious Learfield Directors Cup at LDirectorsCup on Twitter and online at TheDirectorsCup.com. Trophies will be awarded in June 2023 to the winning institutions in all competitive divisions. Learfield Directors Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
Badger Basketball is brought to you by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you, and by U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is proud to support Wisconsin. U.S. Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC. Now back to the Badger Shootaround.
We continue with the Fetch Rewards pregame show as the Badgers get set to face the Penn State Nittany Lions. Going for the regular season sweep are the Badgers. Time for our Badger Spotlight. And this evening we get to hear from Max Klesman, back and playing as strong as ever, coming off the injury which forced him out of a couple of road games at Northwestern and at Maryland a couple of weeks ago. You'll remember he was banged up in the first meeting with Penn State. But when Max returned to the lineup, he returned full force. We talk about that and other topics as we visit with the Badgers junior. Max, I'll say to you, and I mentioned the Coach Guard, Coach Chambliss, I sit here not all that familiar with you before you got here, and I just marveled at a lot of things about you, including your toughness, coming off of, you know, missing a couple games. And I wondered, I thought, you know, I've seen you play enough. I'm going, this guy's a tough dude now. He's... maybe he'll test the waters a little bit coming out. You did. You're taking charges right away. No hesitation, right?
You're right. I mean, part of it goes into the scouting part as well. Kudos to the coaching staff and that stuff and getting us prepared and ready to go. But, I mean, just trying to lay it all out there on the floor for my team, for my guys, trying to make the best play possible for them and put ourselves in a good position at the end of the game. So whatever it takes.
Yeah, I've talked to you probably before, but again, some of the matchups that you've had, pretty challenging stuff. It's Terrence Shannon, if it's, you know, a Jalen Pickett, you know, big, strong guys. What are the general principles, the keys for you to be able to have success against guys like that especially?
Right, you know, obviously not winning the athletic battle with really any of the guys that I've guarded or in the league that I match up against. So just, you know, having to be very smart with your movements. You know, a lot of it goes into preparation beforehand, tendencies guys like, just kind of buying into the little things that, you know, some other people may not want to do, but I think can separate you in terms of being able to defend someone who's a better player or not.
Yeah, I was talking to Tyler Wall about that, just about X's and O's a little bit. How much different is that at the college level compared to what you went through at a very good, program in either day versus night?
Yeah, it's so different. Just in terms of how different teams try to manipulate different things, manipulate the floor, and, you know, find different matchups that are in favor for them and stuff. So it's obviously been a huge change just from high school, but obviously then from where I transferred and Wofford from. So still learning every day, you know, trying to learn and take it all in, but just trying to get better, 1% better every day right now.
It's interesting because I was talking with Coach Kravenhoft about analytics and how much, you know, a player, how much can you feed them? And it varies. Are you one of those guys, you want to get as much info as you can? Oh, yeah. Tendencies, like the more the better that you have there?
Yeah, for me personally, I know it could change guy to guy, but I like having as much information and, you know, statistics, tendencies, what they like doing, what they don't like doing, what makes them uncomfortable. As much of that stuff as I can get my hands on, just because I think that puts me in a better position during the game to be more well prepared in what he's going to like to do, or, you know, just what action they like to run in general. If it's a team that, you know, moves the ball really well, could help in that area as well. So just applying those different things, really.
You guys feel like you're right there, like right on the cusp here. I mean, it's been, you've had so many close games, and now maybe a couple, you know, here recently don't go your way, but you feel like it's like, this isn't that far away from being back to what you guys were early in the year.
Yeah, that's what we've been preaching to each other. You know, we got to stay with one another, stick together, stick with it, because we know we are right there. We got to get over this hump that we're climbing up right now, get over this hill, and just keep working. The only thing that solves those things is coming in and working every day, and having all 16 guys together as one unit. So, you know, I think we do that moving forward, we'll be able to get over it.
You just answered my last question in part here, because I was going to ask about this, you know, the dog days. It's February, a little cranky, spring's still a long way away, but you have to keep that approach, right? And it's still basketball,
right?
It's still fun stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's still getting the opportunity to come in here every day. You got to be appreciative of that. You know, there's 360 whatever teams in the country that deal with the same thing in February of, you know, a little fatigue, school starts back up, different things like that. So it's keeping our head down, working hard, and, you know, coming in every day ready to go.
This is one more on cheating, one more question here. This is a longer road trip here. This is a little bit different for the college level. I guess you got enough to keep you busy here. I'm sure the average fan wonders, what are they going to do? A hotel room, two nights to stay college, Lincoln. But probably there's enough on the schedule to keep you occupied.
Oh, for sure. And terms of practice, whatever recovery we'll have. And then, you know, school doesn't stop either, so we'll still have classes, homework to do on the computer as well. So we'll definitely be busy. But, yeah, I don't think I've ever been away from school for a week for a couple basketball games, which is awesome. Besides the Bahamas, maybe, or something like that. But it'll be fun.
This will be a little different than the Bahamas.
Right, right. Yeah, for sure. It'll be a little different. But, yeah, it'll be fun.
That's Badgers junior guard Max Klesmant, and that is tonight's Badgers Spotlight. Stay with us. More to come as the Fetch Rewards pregame show continues. Up next, our Badger Notebook. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
We continue with the Fetch Rewards pregame show. The Badgers and Penn State tonight at the Bryce Jordan Center. Time now for our Badger Notebook with Patrick Herb. We're going to talk free throws. Not so much percentages, but attempts. Neither team in tonight's game takes many at all relative to the rest of the league. But, Patrick, there's something that it's an interesting perspective. I know talking with you and Coach Gard at the shoot-around today, there's a trend in the game right now where attempts are just down from where they were maybe not too many years ago, right?
Right. If you ask Wisconsin's coaching staff would they like to shoot more free throws, the answer is yes. Clearly they would. They went 5 for 11 at the line against Northwestern. Both of those numbers are too low. They are. And they acknowledge that, and they would love to get there, and they're trying to find ways to get there. However, just getting to the line and even making them at the line is not always an indicator of success. Take this year, for example. Wisconsin was 15 of 18 at the line against Wake Forest, lost. 14 of 19 against Kansas, lost. So it doesn't automatically mean that you're going to win. Another thing is teams that win shoot more free throws, because at the end of game scenarios, that happens a lot. Wisconsin has won its share of games. A lot of them have been really tight games where the foul game is not happening. So that also needs to be taken into account a little bit. But given all of that, Wisconsin's free throw numbers are down. That's clear. They're averaging about 14 attempts per game, making just 9 per game. That team free throw rate, that's probably a more important number than just the raw attempts or makes, is the free throw rate. So what that is free throw attempts compared to your field goal attempts overall. Free throw attempts divided by field goal attempts. So that rate, that percentage for Wisconsin this year is 25%, which is low. It's 340th in the NCAA, and it's the lowest Wisconsin has been in the last 20 years. So that tells you that's a low number for the season, and we can acknowledge that. You think that's low? You mentioned Penn State. Their rate is 18%, mm-hmm. which is a huge drop. That is 363rd in the country, dead last.
Yeah, that's
so,
yep.
that is remarkable. Also, but okay, back to the Badgers. So that free throw rate is low. The next lowest came 2 seasons ago when they were just over 26%. Some of it's personnel driven. I think that's how you explain that one a little bit. Look at that year's team. A lot of jump jump shooters, Trice, Aleem Ford, Brad Davison, Pritzel, Reavers, Potter, right? A lot of jump shooters, not as many free throws. Last year, that rate went up to 32%. Johnny Davis was a big factor, and they won a lot of games. Brad Davison was getting fouled in the last minute often. Okay, so, but pulling back even more, we go back to 2007, 16 years ago. That's when it peaked for Wisconsin. 45% was that free throw rate. Huge number. You remember, that was a team that reached number one. Orlando Tucker and Cam Taylor were the seniors on that team. But interestingly, since then, the free throw rate for the Big Ten and the nation has been in steadily decline. So the peak came, that was a peak in 2007. What happened in 2008? Well, the three-point line changed. Distances. Did that have an impact on free throw rate? We're going to get to three-point line in a second, but it has been an industry trend in the NBA, too. They're seeing it, that the free throw rate has declined, and it has done that in each of the years, really, since 2007. So, yes, Wisconsin's free throw rate is in decline. It's also a decline industry, country, sport-wide. Ask my son, who, when he goes out, he wants to shoot threes, right? He wants to shoot post-ups. Okay, but let's examine that. Why does a free throw line decline? Well, again, one rate is because the three-point shooting is up so much. While one is going down, free throw rate, three-point rate is going up. So A.J. Van Handel, who is the team's video coordinator and also kind of their resident analytics guy, he spends a lot of time on Ken Pomeroy's site, and this staff doesn't dive deep into analytics. They're not really Moneyball, but they do use analytics, and they do use it to build their scouting reports and to self-scout as much as anything. And so Coach Gard has this fascination with free throw shooting. Like, I know Wisconsin's not getting there. What are we seeing nationwide and also three-point-wise? So the Wisconsin's three-point rate, which again, three-point field goals divided by field goal attempts, is at 41%. That's in the top 100 of the country. And if you look at the last 20 years, that three-point rate has climbed steadily. It climbed up until 2008 when the three-point line extended. Then it went down kind of Big Ten, conference-wide, nationwide. But then it's like things corrected and they figured out how to shoot from a little deeper line. And then in the next 5 years, it climbed again before having another correction again in 2020 when they adjusted the line. So it has basically, for the last 16 years or so, been a steadily climb. And so for this Wisconsin team, interestingly, the three-point field goal percentage and free throw percentage typically correlate. A good shooting team is going to shoot well at both. This year's team is maybe an anomaly in that sense, that it's not necessarily correlating. That, and part of that is because the guys who are shooting the threes aren't necessarily getting to the free throw line a lot.
You think, too, of the three-point line, as you talked about, the shot clock now at 30. There's the block chart, the restricted area in the lane. Mm-hmm. I mean, the game of basketball, certainly at the NBA level, you're seeing it more and more at the college level. It's no-footers and threes. What you're trying to do defensively is get teams to take tough twos. And that's usually where you get fouled a lot. In the paint, sure. Mid-range. You're not going to see, if you see a three-shot foul every other game or every third game, right? I mean, you mentioned Wisconsin's, you know, 41% of its shots are threes. Penn State has more than 48% of its shots are threes, and it averages fewer than 10 free throw attempts per game in the Big Ten. Now, we're talking extremes here, but it kind of speaks to your point with the philosophical shift. Some are rules-driven. Some are just a philosophical shift where the threes are better than twos. I know, and you're not going to get fouled as much.
I'll wrap it up with this. I'll add one more thing. Bo Ryan was a little bit ahead of his time in talking about points per possession. He used to preach it all the time, and it was one of his secret sauces. And I remember 15 years ago, we'd go and we'd talk to people about it, and they'd say, huh, that's interesting. Now it's in vogue. Everybody talks about points per possession. And so if you do it from a number standpoint, the three-point shot and how that can affect your points per possession versus twos, it makes a lot of sense to shoot more threes. It just does, mathematically. If you had 30 possessions and you shot a three-pointer on every possession and you shoot 33%, which is below where Wisconsin is, that's an average, that's a pedestrian number, you're going to get to 30 points. You have to shoot 50% from the field from twos to get to that same 30%. Well, Wisconsin doesn't shoot 50% from twos. So in some ways, you should say Wisconsin should shoot more threes.
Yep.
And the more threes you shoot, the fewer free throws you're going to get. So, like, it's all... You